Welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, and spirit-led church. We are so happy to bring this message to you, and on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
So right now, though, I am excited just to jump into the Word of God, and we're in the middle of our theme, which is this year, This is My Bible. And we've been taking time, as Carl said beautifully, to really dive into and see God in Scripture. And last week, I started a series called The Ark of the Biblical Story. And if you weren't here last week, basically we talked about this book that we have access to being, almost like learning a different language. And when you first come to a new language, it's clunky, it's hard to understand. You know, you're working really hard to make sense of it. But as you become more fluent, a whole world opens up and the opportunity to communicate and connect and hear God's voice becomes clearer and clearer. And we talked a little bit about the story and how understanding where what you're reading in the Bible fits within the bigger story helps you to make sense of it. And you can understand some of the tone, you can understand some of the content because you understand what part of the story it is. So we went from Genesis 1 all the way through to Revelation 22 in about 20 minutes. It was fast. And if you want to have a quick overview of the Bible, you can go back and watch that on YouTube. But today we're going to continue in this series. And what I want to do is I want to read a story from you, which is found in Luke chapter 24. And we're going to start at verse 13. And we're going to learn about how Christ, while we see him in the Gospels, is not just in the Gospels, but literally throughout the entire Bible from Genesis through to Revelation. And so let's read this story. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to it. If you don't, you can look on the screen. And it's the story of the encounter that Jesus had with two people on the road to Emmaus. Now it says this. It says, now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, how foolish you are and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay on with us, stay with us, for it is evening. The day is almost over, so he went and stayed with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? This morning, the title of my message is The Greatest Sermon Never Recorded. The Greatest Sermon Never Recorded. Lord, we just thank you so much that in the same way that you illuminated scripture to reveal yourself to these disciples, that today, God, through your Holy Spirit, you would illuminate scripture and reveal yourself to us. Lord, that our hearts, like theirs, would burn within us as we discover you in our Bible. And we just pray that you'd move powerfully in the way that only you can. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Have you ever tried to impress someone with your knowledge about a topic or a subject that you think you know a little bit about? Have you ever tried to impress someone with your knowledge of a subject that you later found out they're an expert in? Yeah, yeah. I remember when I was studying, I had this one professor, and in this class, discussion was great. You know, I'm like, man, the study was intercultural communication. I'm like, man, ministry's taken me to a few places around the world. I've seen this in action. You know, I can contribute to this discussion. We're having this great chat, part of the convos, and it comes time for our assignment. And as you do, you sort of submit a bit of a draft of what you're thinking. And this professor, she basically gave me some really constructive feedback, which is another word for like harsh feedback, right? And it was like, interesting that you chose this. Why have you chosen that author? Have you thought about referring to this author? And I'm like, man, she has explained a lot. And what happened is, her name was Lily, and as I started to do these readings, what I quickly realized was that all the other people who write on this topic refer to her. So all of their books are about her book. All of their thoughts refer to her reflections. And I realize, my gosh, I am talking to the expert in the field of, and I'm like, wow, there is no fudging this assignment. There is no throwing in a few extra, you know, references just to fill out the word account, all those things that I know you uni students, you love to do. I'm not getting away with anything because she is an expert. She knows what she is talking about. Now, I want you to think about this moment with these two disciples who are walking along, confused as to how things have turned out, different to what they expected when Jesus himself comes along. And he, a little bit like my professor, sort of plays it cool. Doesn't sort of come up with the whole like, I'm God thing. He's just sort of like, yo, what are you guys talking about? And they start to explain to him what's going on. They're trying to tell him all that's happened and what they're expecting and how things have worked out. And he's just sitting there, okay. Wow, really? Okay, well, that did that, yeah, He's just listening, they're just talking, and it gets to a point where he says, listen, guys, how foolish you are. You haven't been obviously reading the scriptures, because if you had read the scriptures, you would have actually seen this foretold, you would have seen this foreshadowed, you would have seen this talked about time and time again. This is actually all part of God's plan. And then he literally begins at the beginning. The Bible says he starts with Moses, which is referring to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, all the prophets, and then he says he explains what is said in all scripture concerning himself. So imagine, right, Jesus himself starting at Genesis 1 and all the way through Israel's scriptures, the entire Old Testament, explaining to these people who he is. Can you imagine the insight, the wisdom? No wonder their hearts were burning within them. Jesus himself, like, this is why it's the greatest sermon that was probably ever preached, legitimately, by Jesus himself using all scripture. My gosh, the one. It would have been, but we don't have access to it. I'm like, oh man, Jesus, couldn't we have recorded that? Couldn't these two have written it down? Couldn't there be a whole other book that's just called The Road to Emmaus Discussion? It would all make sense. The Bible would all make sense. But what's interesting is that while we don't have access to what was said in that discussion, what we can observe in scripture is Jesus himself, through the limited words we have of his time on earth and the gospels and the teachings of Jesus, we have access to the way that he does illuminate the scriptures to reveal who he is. When we read in the Bible, Jesus talk about, or the early Christians talk about the scriptures, what they're referring to is our Old Testament, also known as Israel's scriptures. These are the scriptures that prophesy and foretell the purposes of God in the coming Messiah. You know, when Jesus, whenever he refers to scripture, he illuminates it. And through his teachings, time and time again, we've heard him say things like, well, you have heard it said, but now I say. And he makes sense of scriptures that maybe people have perceived a particular way. He says, have you not read? And he challenges people and refers back to scripture time and time again to reveal his purposes. He says, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God. He corrects people because they have a misunderstanding of God and a misunderstanding of their mission because they don't know scripture. He's constantly referring back to these scriptures that talk about himself to help recalibrate people. He says things like, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. He uses scripture to bring about challenge to a culture. But what's amazing about Jesus is that he's not just an expert in the scriptures. He's not just a learned rabbi who's spent time studying him. In fact, all scripture is actually about Jesus. John 5, 39 to 40 says this, says you study, this is Jesus talking, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Jesus is saying, hey, the scriptures serve a purpose. It's not the scriptures themselves, but who is revealed through the scriptures that you should be searching for and discovering. That's me. I am the one that all scripture testifies to. I am the one that all scripture points to. Yet you refuse to come to me. You misunderstand what scripture is all about. The Bible says that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Matthew 5, 17 says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Fulfill them. And so he starts with Genesis and goes all the way through the Old Testament, revealing himself to these followers. You know, as part of our, this is my Bible theme over the year, our prayer and heart and desire is that all of us would fall in love with our Bibles, that it would become a part of our daily life and it would move from something that sits on a shelf or something that is spoken about on Sundays to something that is a part of our daily life. And the challenge is when you first come to scripture, and this is what we talked about last week, it's a bit difficult to make sense of because it is so foreign to our modern world. It's so different to what we're used to hearing, reading, even the literary styles and all of that makes it difficult sometimes for us to make sense of it. But the desire of this whole year is to help us realize that it is accessible, that it is there for us to receive from, that it is something that you can personally engage with. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for pastors. It is for Christians. The word of God is given to all of us so that we may engage with it. And a large portion of our Bible is the Old Testament. And it's sort of the story of God in creation and in humanity up until the time of the coming of Jesus. The word became flesh. And we read in the New Testament from that point on into the future. But when it comes to reading the Old Testament, and this month in our Bible reading plan, we're reading Chronicles. We're engaging with things that are different to what we're used to. When it comes to the New Testament, sometimes people think, well, I prefer that. The teaching of Jesus makes sense. I like his ideas. I like the letters. The Old Testament's a little bit hard to understand. You know, sometimes, you know, even the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, New Testament, Greek, Aramaic. You know, even the thinking of the day of Jesus is a little bit more aligned with our modern day. And so sometimes we think, oh, that makes sense to me. Old Testament, a little bit beyond me. I'm going to leave it and I'm just going to focus on this. The problem that we have when we come to the New Testament without properly engaging the Old Testament is that so much of the New Testament is only truly correctly understood with an understanding of the Old Testament. So much of what is written, so much of what is referred to makes sense only because we have an understanding of the scriptures. Reading the New Testament with an understanding of the Old Testament is like going from black and white to color. It's a whole different experience. So what scriptures did Jesus open up for the followers? We may never know, but what I thought we'd do this morning is we'll open up some scriptures ourselves and see how Jesus is revealed in the Old Testament. And see how we can discover Jesus in our Old Testament. So there's many places and many ways that you can see Jesus in the Old Testament. And our goal is as he is revealed in Scripture this morning, that we would come to him to have life like he says we need to. And the three things I want to talk about is how the Old Testament provides shadows of Christ. It provides prophecies of Christ. And it also, even excitingly, provides appearances of Christ. Look in the Old Testament, before we come to the book of Matthew, it's going to get exciting. So let's jump in, right? We're going to start with shadows of Christ and this idea of a type of Christ. That word type literally means an imprint. Like if you were to get a piece of clay and you imprint a coin on it, you take the coin away, but the imprint is there. You know, you might not have the actual physical thing there, but you can see its impact. And the Bible, the Old Testament, is full of these shadows of Christ. For example, Noah and the flood. You know, sometimes we think that's a cool story with all the animals getting on the ark for kids, but that's actually a shadow of Christ. It is a picture of the purposes of God. that Jesus is the ark. That ultimately, the same way that the ark saved these people and saved these animals, that when we come into Christ, that we are saved from that which would destroy, that we are safe in Him, that we are protected in Him, that by being in Him, we are with God. You know, we also have a bunch of stories. One of them in Genesis chapter 28, which is the story of when Jacob has a vision. And if you know the story, basically one night, the Bible says he puts his head on a rock to sleep, which I think is interesting. and while he's sleeping, he has this vision. And he sees from heaven to earth this ladder. And he sees angels coming up and coming down. And he sees heaven touching earth. And he sees this bridge between the present and God's purposes. And he has this vision. And he wakes up and he says, surely the Lord is in this place. Surely I have witnessed the gates of heaven. And what's interesting is it's a story about heaven touching earth and about this bridge between the two. But Jesus himself, when you read John 1:51, refers to it. But watch the difference when he refers to it that will help us to understand that it's a type of Christ. He's speaking to a guy called Nathan and he says this, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending, not on a ladder, but on the Son of Man. So this is actually a picture of the role of Christ. He says, hey, it's not just a ladder, it's actually me. I am the connection between heaven and earth. I am the one who allows the presence of God to minister to the people of God. These types reveal God. You read the book of Exodus, and it's the story of God's powerful deliverance. You know, part of that is when the Israelites, they kill a lamb and it becomes a sacrificial lamb, and the blood of that lamb, be careful here with the little ones around, but basically it protects the family and the household in that period. We also recognize Jesus as the Lamb of God, and we are protected under His covering. You know, the Exodus itself with all of Israel in slavery, exiting slavery and being walked out of that bondage is a picture and a type of Christ who delivers us not just from physical slavery, but slavery to death, slavery to sin, slavery to our brokenness. It's the ultimate exodus when it comes to our salvation. In Numbers 21, there's a story of this bronze snake that was raised. Basically, everyone had been being bitten by these poisonous snakes, which was a judgment on the people. And God creates a way for those who have been poisoned to be saved. And they put this snake together on this bronze pole. And God says, raise the snake up. And when you raise that snake up, anyone who looks to the snake, anyone who looks to this bronze pole, they will not be killed by the poison that has been put into them by the snake. But then Jesus refers to this again in John 3. And he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in me may have eternal life in him. Can you see how Jesus is now using this picture, an Old Testament picture, and revealing how that is actually there to foreshadow his work on the cross? That when he goes up, he will be the one condemned, not us. We will live because he died. Joshua in the promised land, Jesus leads us into our promised land. Throughout the scriptures, we've got, you know, the judges like Samson and different kings like King David and even, you know, Jonah. Jesus again refers to Jonah and he says in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. We have these shadows of Christ. And again, my prayer is that as we look at this, curiosity would start to stir in your heart. But man, I'm going to give the Bible another crack. I'm going to read some of these stories because I didn't realize that there is all of this incredible pictures of Jesus in the Old Testament. I want to encourage you to start to read again your Bibles. All of this is beautifully in there. And he literally refers to himself in this story as Jonah being a picture of who he is. It's a shadow of Christ. These shadows are repeating patterns in the Old Testament of the redemption of the Messiah of Jesus himself. But as well as shadows, there's also prophecies of Christ. One of the most amazing things about our Bible, and we talked last week about how it's written in multiple languages over 1,500 years by about 40 different human authors, you know, by the Holy Spirit, brought together to reveal Christ. It's amazing that in these scriptures, there is so much that is prophesied that is fulfilled by Jesus. At least 300 are basically undisputed in the scholarly space of like, there are messianic prophecies that directly talk about the coming Messiah that Jesus himself fulfills. Plus, on top of that, many more that people may have different perspectives about. But, you know, it's interesting. I've got this image that I'm going to show you in a second. And Pastor Karen, our amazing worship pastor, she bought me this infographic Bible a little while ago. And it's amazing because it basically puts together some of the big stories of the Bible in infographics. And there's this one, which I want to show you now, if you can just put it on the screen. It's this arch, right? And what it shows on the left side is all of the Old Testament prophecies that are messianic, that are about the coming Messiah, that are coming about the coming deliverance of God. And then on this side is all of the fulfillment in the New Testament that we see in Jesus' life, where Jesus fulfilled each one of these prophecies. And you can just see, from beginning to the end of the Old Testament, these prophecies about who Jesus is are included, and then they are fulfilled in the New Testament as we read it and it's revealed. Can you see how beautiful this is? There's another picture I've got in there as well, which is a similar picture. Again, talks about on the left side, this is the, it's a one long image, but we've broken it into two. On the left side, specific prophecies in the Gospels and words that were spoken about the coming Messiah. And then on the right side, where in Scripture they are fulfilled. And the infographic Bible, if you're interested, can go grab yourself one of them. It's pretty impressive. But these prophecies, they're talking about the purposes of God in the world. For example, right back in Genesis chapter 3, when people have failed, when they've turned away from God, turned to themselves, made gods out of themselves, and they have fallen. And God at that very point begins the journey and he says, hey, game is not over. I have a plan and a purpose. Let me read it to you. Genesis 3:15, and it says, God speaking to the snake that deceived the people, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his heel. And it's talking about the purposes of God that will ultimately crush that which has tried to pull people away from the presence of God. If you want to go on a crazy trip through scripture and see prophecy in action, I encourage you to read Isaiah 53. One of the most amazing chapters in the Bible. It's written about 800 years before Christ. And interestingly, through the Dead Sea Scrolls, they literally have carbon dated copies that are written pre-Christ that are word for word what Isaiah 53 has. Like, it is an incredible prophecy. We don't have time to read the whole lot. Let me read a couple of them. And you can see how in this prophecy, Jesus ultimately fulfills it. It's called the suffering servant, the chapter. Verse 4-6 says, surely this suffering servant, he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken and afflicted by him. But he was pierced for our transgressions and he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the gospel message pre-Christ. It is a prophecy of the purposes of God that will be fulfilled in Christ when he went to the cross on our behalf, when he died for our sin. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. These prophecies reveal who God is. Psalm 22, 23, 24, it's been a big part of our church's journey. They are prophecies of the Messiah that we have seen fulfilled in Christ. And these prophecies go right down to things like the place that Jesus would be born, the way that he would be conceived, his upbringing in Egypt and Nazareth, things like the attempts on his life as an infant, things like his betrayal, his death, his resurrection, prophecies about Christ that were ultimately fulfilled. And so we have these shadows of Christ in the Old Testament. We have prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament. And as we come into our final part of the message, we have actual appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, I've left this one for last because it's sort of fun and exciting, right? And, you know, we know that Jesus was born as a man 2,000 or so years ago. But Jesus wasn't created 2,000 years ago. He has always been. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Through him, all things were made. Nothing that has been made apart from him. In him is life. that life is the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's talking about the Word of God. It's talking about in the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1. It's referring to God Himself. But verse 14 of John 1 says that the Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us, and His glory is seen in the one and only Son who comes from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word has always been, but He came and became flesh all those years ago when Jesus was born. And so what's interesting is this Word of God, this figure, the second person of the Trinity that we believe, has always been. And there are these mysterious sort of verses in the Old Testament that actually, as we read them, are considered pre-incarnate appearances of Christ. And these are really interesting. One of them is found in Genesis 14, when Abraham is basically coming back from a battle, and this king priest called Melchizedek meets him in the plain. And Abraham literally just recognizes Melchizedek as of God and gives him a tenth. This is the first time we ever hear about tithing in the Bible. And it's before the law, it's before any of those things were legislated. It was an act of worship. And Abraham's like, I'm gonna give you what I have and worship him. And Melchizedek blesses him. Now it's interesting because he's a king and a priest, which is unusual. And you know, he's a king and a priest from a particular place. But it's not until you get to the New Testament in the book of Hebrews that we see Melchizedek elevated to a level that is sort of beyond what we might expect. Hebrews 7, verse 1 to 3 says this. It says, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, the name Melchizedek means king of righteousness. Then also, king of Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Jesus, the one we know, we worship, that came, Word became flesh, met Abraham. The second person of the Trinity met Abraham, ministered, blessed Abraham. We're not talking about a God of the Old Testament and a God of the New Testament. We are talking about God who is one. When Jacob wrestles with God in Genesis 32, he wrestles all night with God. He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Eventually he is blessed, but he's touched on the hip and his hip's put out of order. And it's a little sign that like, I could have crushed you if I wanted to, but I wanted you to wrestle with God. And the Bible says you will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you had wrestled with God and man and have overcome. This encounter that he has is an encounter with Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army in Joshua 5. You know, Joshua's like, hey, are you on my team or their team? And the commander of the Lord's army is like, neither. I'm doing what I'm doing. Are you on my team? Is the question. And it says that he worshipped him there. The fourth man in the flames in Daniel chapter 3. Remember this story? They stand up for their faith. They're like, hey, God can protect us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow. And they get thrown to this furnace. Even the people that threw them in die, but these three people are walking around. The king is looking at them being like, didn't we throw three people in? I can see a fourth person, and the fourth person looks like the Son of Man. It's like Jesus himself graced them with his presence. Jesus himself appeared to them and strengthened them and carried them through the fire. This is the God that we serve. You know, in Hebrews 11, when it talks about Moses knowing God, it says, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Jesus was the one that was revealed to Moses. Paul talks about the rock in the wilderness that is Christ, that went with the Israelites and provided them spiritual water. They said that rock is Christ. Christ was present with them at that time. Even the king in Isaiah's vision, in Isaiah chapter 6, that fills the temple, with glory. John 12, 41 says, Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus's glory and spoke about him. Isaiah, he's talking about a suffering servant. He's encountered Jesus and he's revealing him to us. And as we go through the Old Testament, Jesus himself is revealed through shadows, through prophecy, and even through his own appearances. And I wanted to share this, one, to spark curiosity again in the Word, and to be like, man, there's more to this book than I realized. It's not just a cool story. There is like layers upon layers, and you can never exhaust this Bible. This is why people have spent their whole life studying it, and they're barely scratching the surface. This is why our theology is not just based on our own understanding, but on a 2,000-year-old discussion that we have had over generations of who God is and how to understand Him. The Bible is so rich, and what it reveals is a God who loves you enough to come and to give up His life so that you can be reconciled to Him. The reason we worship Jesus is because He is God. He's not just an expert in the Scriptures. He's not just a teacher of the law. He is God. And through today's message, I hope you can see that. Jesus is God. And the story that the Bible reveals is that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son so that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know, God loves you so much that from the moment humanity fell, back in Genesis 3, He is like, I've got a plan to reconcile you to myself. And His plan is Himself. And when God Himself came, the one who the Scriptures prophesied about and talked about, He did what only He could do to take away the sin of the world and to bring us into Himself that we may live with Him forevermore. And so this morning, you know, as we come to this final part of our service, what I'd love to do is to just encourage you to open up your heart to Jesus. Maybe you've thought about Jesus as a cool historical figure or a great teacher or a wise leader, but today I want you to see Him as God, as the one that all of Scripture is given to us to reveal, and as one who loves you and is here to meet with you. Jesus said that I will not leave you as orphans, that I will come. And He sends His Holy Spirit. And all who receive Him receive His Holy Spirit, a mark, a seal of what He has achieved on our behalf. And we are given life and life forevermore, a reconciliation with our Creator. And if you feel distant from God, you need feel distant no longer, because God loves you so much that He has made a way for you to know Him. I'd love to just pray for anyone in this room who right now is feeling their heart starting to burn within them as we open up the Scriptures, who's starting to think, man, there's more to my faith than I realize. There's more to, you know, this story of Jesus than I realize. And you are starting to feel your own heart burn like these two disciples did who had that conversation with Jesus. I want to pray for you. And so just to create a bit of a moment and to give us a little bit of focus, could I ask you just wherever you are, maybe just to close your eyes and just to turn your hearts towards Him and just allow Him to minister to you. You know, Jesus is present in the Old Testament. He's present in the New Testament, and He's present here today. And He's calling you home to Himself. Your God, your Creator, the one who knows you, the one who has a plan and a purpose for your life. The beautiful thing about our God is that He is love and He loves you. And no matter what life has looked like up until this point, no matter what you have done or not done, no matter the mistakes you've made, the life you've lived, the choices that have happened in your life, right now you need to know that when God looks at you, He looks at a son, He looks at a daughter, and He's just asking you to come home to Him as you are, because He is the one who has promised, who can take away your sin, who can take away your guilt, who can take away your shame, who can take away those things that have robbed you of the presence of God so that you would be reconciled to your Creator again. And you need not walk alone, but you can be one with Him. And so with every eye closed right now, if you are not connected to your God, if in your heart you can't honestly say, I know my Creator, I'm in a relationship with my Heavenly Father, I am in Him, then I want to encourage you this morning to reach out to God. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that Jesus is who He says He is and He did what He said He did, that he died and he rose again, if you believe that and you can see that he is God and you pray out to him, you'll be saved. Saved from your sin, saved from your brokenness, saved from your past, saved from that which separates you from God. You'll be reconciled to God. And from that moment, the Bible says the old is gone and the new has come, that there is reconciliation with your Creator. And right now, if you're distant from God, you don't need to stay distant. So while eyes are closed, I just want to lead you in a prayer. I'm just going to give you some words. And if you need to come home to your Creator today, if you need to open up your heart to Jesus, who is God, then I want you to pray out this prayer from your heart. He will hear it. And a miracle is going to take place in your life. And church, can we all pray this so that those who might be praying it for the first time or coming back to God after a long time and not alone, and let's just do business with God right now. So let's repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I know that you love me, that you created me, that you have a plan and a purpose for my life. I believe that you are God, and what you achieved for me when you died on the cross and rose again is something that I can experience today. And so by faith, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sin and reconcile me to my Father, that I may walk with God all the days of my life and into eternity. And so I pray that from this day forward, that you'd walk with me, that you'd talk to me, and that you would live in me, in Jesus' name. So while eyes are closed, I just want to ask if there's anyone in this room this morning and you know that when you prayed that prayer, it was a prayer of faith. It was a moment for you. I remember as a younger man when I had this moment, and in my heart, it was racing. And I didn't understand everything that I had heard, but what I knew was that God loved me and that he was reaching out to me. And I said in that moment, yes, God. And so this morning, if this morning you are saying yes to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time since you've walked close with God and you feel God saying, hey, come on, son, come on, daughter, it's time to come home. If that's you, I want to pray for you. And I want to pray God's blessing over you. I want to pray that this week you would experience God like you have never experienced him before, that you would see God, that you would hear God, that you would feel God tangibly in your life. I also want to pray for God's protection over you and your family as you journey this out with God, because this is his heart for you. And just so I know who to include in that prayer, for God's blessing, for his power and presence this week, would you let me know if that's you? I prayed that prayer and it really meant something to me across the line in my heart, just so I know who to pray for. If that's you, would you just raise your hand up and say, hey, include me in that prayer. Hey, please, come on. I want to be a part of what God's doing. And that prayer was my calling out to God, and I'm saying yes to him. If that's you in this room, and this morning you are reaching out to God, you are opening up your heart to God, just give us a wave. Put your hand up nice and high. Well done. Proud of you. What a great decision. Anyone else? Your heart's racing. You sense the presence and the love of God. You might not understand much else, but you know that something's going on. Just allow me just to include you in this prayer by boldly just sticking your hand up and saying, hey, that's me. Well, Jesus, we just honor you as God this morning. We just thank you that you are not distant, but you are close. Jesus, that you love us so much that being God, you chose to become man, to lay down your life, to receive that which separated us from God upon yourself, that we can be reconciled to our Creator. And so I pray for everyone this morning who responded in their heart or who reached out to you in that moment, that you would be present with them this week, that they would experience your love, that experience your power, that experience the touch of heaven. Lord, that you would strengthen them, help them, encourage them in this journey forward with their Creator. And I pray for everyone in this room, God, who didn't respond because they know you already and they are walking with you already. I pray for a special touch of the Holy Spirit this week on their life. For every single one of us, God, as we've learned about the Bible, God, bring us back to Scripture. God, get us curious again for the Word of God. Speak to us through the stories of the way you worked. And we just pray, Jesus, that you'll come alive for all of us again in a new way, in a new powerful way. In Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, can we just congratulate those people who responded? That's incredible. What a decision.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at hz.church. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.